Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today, we are beginning our 90 days of celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on the air and now online as well in a variety of forms, live streaming and podcasts, on demand, all kinds of ways that you can listen to worldwide, KFUO. And one of the ways that we're celebrating, one of the things we're doing to celebrate with our kickoff this week is with a pretty nifty display right here in the lobby of the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, where the worldwide KFUO studios are located. And we're going to get to one of those pieces in that display here in just a little bit. Our next guest today on Faith and Family, the Reverend Sam Schuldeis, pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California. Welcome back to Faith and Family, Pastor Schuldeis.
Thank you, Andy. Great to be on with you all again.
It's good to have you back. And not too long ago, we were just talking about movies. And today, continuing our discussion on your vocation as father and the vocation of fathers, also as a pastor, and some important things that play a part of being a parent.
Absolutely.
The role of creative play in a parent's life. We just had some time talking with Kim Markshausen about creative play in a child's development. And as an educator, a good conversation. Now I want to talk about it more so from a parent's perspective and from a pastor's perspective. Where does creative play fit in that vocation, in the development of a child? And does it help them articulate their faith better, too? So we're going to talk about that here. First of all, give us a little bit of background about who you are. I know we've talked before, but for our listeners who might not know who Pastor Schuldeis is, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I grew up in the Midwest, grew up in Michigan, and that's kind of where my first introduction to imagination and creative play began with a gift of Legos from a family friend that had come over. And anyway, I grew up in Michigan, lived in the Twin Cities for a short bit of time, and grew up in Portland, Oregon, though, mostly, where my parents actually still live. And after college at Concordia Irvine, went to seminary out in Fort Wayne, Indiana, at Concordia Theological Seminary, and received a call here in that April of 2008 to come to Redeemer Huntington Beach. At that time, I was the associate pastor there and was associate pastor for about 6 years, roughly, and then Pastor Harmlink, who is now the director of Concordia Historical Institute. I heard the commercial for it during the break there. So another little plug for the great work of CHI, and he took a call there about last January, and so I've been here at Redeemer as sole pastor in the meantime since then. So that's a little bit of that's kind of the short window. And during college, met my wife Natasha, and we now have two beautiful, wonderful children. Zoe is 3, and Jonah is just about a little over 6 months old.
Very good. A proud father and a pastor and father and husband. You've got multiple vocations, as do all of us. We all have multiple vocations that God gives us. What is most important to you about your vocation as father, your vocation of father?
I think it's, in a lot of ways, there's some great overlap between being a pastor and father. And one of those is, as a pastor, of course, you're handing down the faith, like Jude 3 says, that take care to teach and train in the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. And as father, of course, there are many things that you want to hand down and to train your children up in the way that they would go, as the Proverbs say. And that includes anything from tying your shoes to learning how to eat and proper manners and all those different things that help you. Help prepare the child and the children for their future vocation, both as children and the many different vocations that they will be given and blessed with, and then when they one day eventually become parents, Lord willing, as well. So there are those simple kind of first article gifts and blessings, but of course we know that all of those first article gifts exist because of the second article of the Creed, which is Christ's death and resurrection for us, and the third article, the Holy Spirit, that gives us that faith. And so those three things, I think really the Apostles' Creed gives us a wonderful window into the vocation as father. And like the Small Catechism says, as the head of the household should teach their family. And there you go. You've got yourself a roadmap right there.
So your vocation of as father is includes those first article things, making sure that their earthly needs are provided for, but also making sure that they are instructed in God's word, that making sure that your children, that your whole household is instructed in God's word, to ready to receive his good gifts when the opportunities are there.
Absolutely, and there's a variety of ways that can happen. Of course, we have we're blessed here to have a preschool at Redeemer in Huntington Beach, so Zoe is in her second year of preschool, and they get chapel twice a week, and they get the Sunday school stories throughout the week in their Bible times with the teachers, and she even comes home singing the songs, and so we sing a mealtime prayer that we've, instead of just speaking the prayers like we did before at mealtime, now we sing the one that she does at preschool, which is wonderful, because she started that, so in teaching the faith, you also end up encouraging the Christian faith and the confession of that faith around the house as well. It's a beautiful thing to see and watch happen.
So as a dad who cares for his family, as a husband and father who cares for his family, where does creative play fit into your vocation as dad?
Wow, that's a great question. I think it really fits in everywhere. And this is one of the great things about being a parent, is that all the things that you thought you got rid of or grew up out of as a child, now you get to enjoy again all over. So you get to listen to great, this morning we were listening to some Disney music. Sometimes we listen to the Catechism in the car too, and we kind of switch back and forth between those. And, so in the car on the way to school, we do that, even though that's not hands-on kind of interactive play, but there's some element to that there. At home, we'll probably go through maybe 6 or 7 different activities in a half an hour window because three-year-olds have, the attention of a three-year-old, which is wonderful. But you get to enjoy different things there when you go to the park, or I'll take Zoe on bike rides a lot of times. And it's just everywhere you go, there's opportunities for different creative play. And it's going to take different forms. Sometimes it's playing with Lego bricks, or sometimes it's playing with her dolls, sometimes it's walking her stuffed animals around the living room, or going outside and collecting leaves and sticks to make some kind of soup or something like that,
Well, you mentioned Legos, and so I think this is an appropriate time for us to talk about where Legos fit into your life and the Schuldheis family. Part of our celebration of 90 years of broadcast ministry, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ here at Worldwide KFUO, includes a display right out here in the lobby of the International Center of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, including a Lego display designed and built by the Reverend Sam Schuldheis, and it's pretty neat. You can see a picture of it, a photo of it on our Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and check out KFUO Radio, you'll find a picture of the display there, and it's pretty neat. We've got the tower and some other features included in that that design. What prompted this whole idea of a Lego display and your contribution to the celebration?
I think it originated in a little bit of a kind of a roundabout way. I post pictures usually on Fridays with my day off with my kids, because I enjoy spending time with them, and I usually try to take a couple of pictures together with them and share some of our adventures together, because we have a lot of them, at parks and all sorts of different fun things. So I frequently post also some pictures of different little Lego projects that we'll either work on together, or just things that I've bought with the kids that we've either built or that I've done on my own. And so those end up on Facebook, and I'm good friends with Pastor Zwanitzer, the director of KFUO, as well, in person. And we've met in person and continued that correspondence on Facebook. And so he saw some of those photos and thought, hey, we're doing this 90th anniversary celebration for KFUO, and was wondering if you would be interested in creating some kind of Lego tribute display sort of thing as a way to help promote KFUO and kind of kick off the celebration. And at first I thought he was kind of joking. No way, you're asking me to do one of my favorite things, which is, support good Lutheran ministries and at the same time get to play with Lego bricks. So I said, absolutely, I'd love to. And then we just kind of worked on a few different ideas from there. I had sketched out a few things, and he no doubt talked to some of the folks there at KFUO and got some ideas and smashed up all those together. And then I started working on putting it into Lego form.
What do you like about building and the that whole process? You said you spend a lot of time with the kids each week doing these type of, you know, this type of creative thing, building with Legos or other things that are similar and creative. What is it that you like about that, first as an individual, but also as a parent for your children?
For sure. I think both, the answer to both is the same thing. It's really the imagination that it comes down to for me. Both for myself, because as a child, and this never stopped. if you look at my study around at church, there's a few little Lego things on the shelf, and it's always kind of funny that people ask, "Oh, you enjoy those?" I said, "Oh, definitely." And I haven't, I never grew up out of that. It's not a Peter Pan syndrome really thing. I think for me, it's again a way to continue to exercise the imagination, and I see that happening in Zoe especially, because she's three now and she starts to interact with the different creative building toys and all that kind of thing, and enjoy it, and you get to see the imagination kind of get awoken, and that creativity sparked in somebody else, and that's a lot of fun to see, and it's fun to enjoy and share that together too.
Why is it important to keep imagination alive and growing? Why, for you, why do you think that imagination is important for us as Christians?
Well, I think imagination is a way of, take example from building blocks like Legos. So a child builds something, let's say like a castle or a boat or a ship or whatever, and they build that, and then they don't just, usually as a child, they don't sit it on their shelf in their study at church or anything like that. They usually end up playing with it, whether it's something from a box or something they came up with their own. And preferably when they come up with their own, then they have to make it up out of their brain themselves. So they're actually engaging their imagination in order to come up with it, which is a fascinating exercise in itself. But then once they do that, then they usually create a story or some kind of a world behind it to go along with that particular spaceship or whatever it is. And then it's in that storytelling that I think is where there's an important connection to the Christian faith. Because imagination, of course, we know could be used for evil and sinful purposes, because it like any good gift in creation, it's bound to be corrupted and tainted by our sinfulness. And yet at the same time, we see a lot of wonderful examples of the Christian imagination being used to tell good stories that end up pointing us to the greatest story ever told, which is the gospel, the one story that is both beautifully told, but it's a true story at the same time. And so I think the imagination, even when it's used with things like building toys, can end up having bearing fruit in other parts of the Christian mind and life. And that's where imagination can then bear fruit in other places.
So imagination just isn't all about the make-believe things. It really is provides opportunities for us to practice the things that that are important for us to practice communicating with others. It provides us opportunities to think through things that might not necessarily happen specifically to us, but to think through things in order to help us interact and communicate and communicate an important message to someone else.
Definitely. If you think about it just on a kind of a first article sort of example, when children play together, and let's say they're playing over a table full of Lego bricks and everything like that spread out, and they will eventually end up communicating with each other, and sometimes they'll make a story about their castle that they're building, or their undersea submarine, or whatever they're doing, and they will end up sharing that with one another, and again interacting and communicating. Now, the same thing is at work when Christians use their imagination in sharing the gospel with others. The difference there, of course, is that, and even when the children are playing, the common connection there is that they're drawing on reality. They're drawing on things they've seen in the outside world. J.R. Tolkien actually called this the primary world, that when we as people make things, we're reflecting the way that God made us as creatures. And so we make things. The artist takes paints and canvas, and the writer takes words and page, and the imagination is the way that gets you from the pictures in the mind to the art on the page or in brick form or whatever it may be that the form of creative play happens to be. And I think those can be good tools or catalysts for proclaiming the gospel, such as we see like in some of these great writings of the 20th century, like in C.S. Lewis and Tolkien and so forth.
When we hear the word apologist, quite often we think of a theologian, a scholar, an adult. We don't necessarily think of children as apologists, but can children be faithful and strong apologists?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And one of the great things about children and the Christian faith is, of course, that Jesus is right when he says that the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That simple childlike faith and trust, it really knows no fear when it comes to sharing the gospel with other people. As we get older, we tend to worry about how people are going to, maybe they'll get offended, or maybe it's not quite the right time to talk about them. They don't really care about that. They just, hey, did you know Jesus died for you? And they say it as easily as, I would like a snack. And they say that all the time, too. So children don't have that kind of irrational fear that we adults seem to grow with as we get older. That's just one thing. But you think about the little Israelite girl in the Old Testament with the healing of Naaman and Elisha the prophet. And she just says, there's a prophet in Israel, and the Lord will go and heal him. Go to Israel. And, she just speaks. She speaks what she knows as truth, and then leads Naaman to eventually be healed. And so I think children are a wonderful way of doing that. They don't have that. Yeah, they don't have that adult hang-up kind of stuff.
So when it comes coming back to being a parent and the creative play and the time that you are engaged in creative play with your children, the creative play that you do, whether it's using building blocks or Legos or reading together some of the great authors, mentioned Tolkien and C.S. Lewis, and it doesn't necessarily always blatantly, the activity itself, the creative activity, creative play doesn't necessarily have to be blatantly a Bible story, or doesn't have to be specifically that you're building a church sanctuary with Legos.
Right.
It provides an opportunity to build imagination and to talk, and provides teachable moments, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think one of the important things that connects with your last question about, when we typically think of an apologist, we think of, kind of an erudite scholar, someone who's very, has a lot of well-thought-out logical arguments. And there's a great many people that the logical, proofs for God existence and those kinds of more intellectual arguments definitely work, and they're useful and necessary. And we shouldn't dismiss that part of apologetics. But there's a whole other side of apologetics that often kind of gets forgotten about, and that's using the imagination in connection with things like storytelling or art or music that also showcase the beauty and the meaning of the Christian faith in addition to its truthfulness, because you have to have both. And so I think when you do things like creative play, you do provide that, like you said, that window, or you open the door to that, which is why works of art like movies and even play can be, and literature, just to use another example, can be good opportunities to talk about the Christian faith with people that might otherwise not, might not be interested, or might not have a common link with them.
I would say if we were having this conversation maybe 30, 40 years ago, well, you and I would probably be pretty young, but having this conversation in a previous generation, we wouldn't be talking about dads playing with their children. We wouldn't talk about dads having, being creative and using imagination and doing creative play with their children. Mm-hmm. That was, in previous generations, that was probably seen more as something that women might do, or that teachers might do, mm-hmm. that moms or teachers might do with children that are female, but not necessarily men. What, from your perspective as a father, why is it important for men, for dads, to have this time too? We know that moms are probably generally quite often pretty good at this, at spending time with children. But historically, men have been kind of, we've kind of been hidden or kind of pushed out of the picture, but we're seeing more and more dads that are certainly involved in the nurture of children. And why is it important that dads particularly be involved in this part of their children's lives?
Well, as you mentioned, it is extremely important. I think one of the great things that I always think of is I learned it from my father, and I'm sure that he learned it from his. I mean, just sitting over the dining room table growing up with my dad building different Lego sets is a very personal but practical example of how that that was learned in my own life, and you know then what I try to do as well. But I think the importance of it to have that father figure, and to have the father around and to be involved in the lives of the children, because it really does provide that grounding, I think a good foundation. In a way, even the scriptures would remind us that the father and mother, the fourth commandment talks about them being authorities, being those placed in the stead of God. They're placed there by God, and they're sort of like the house, the house rulers, if you want to put it that way, or the ones that care for the castle, the king and the queen, and then everyone else follows suit with that. And so without a father there, and you can see studies galore on families and how these things break down without, with a loss of fatherhood, really society itself, the family structure itself begins to crumble and be dismantled and fall apart. But with a father there, and with even things as simple as playing together and spending time, singing silly songs together, or jumping in muddy puddles outside, or whatever it is, those kinds of little moments of interaction not only strengthen the bond within the family, but give a bigger, broader foundation for society as a whole. And it's an incredibly important vocation, spiritually speaking, because then the father, again, is the one that is in a position, a good relationship, builds trust, provides for a safe environment for the children and family, not only temporally speaking, but in terms of the Christian faith, to teach, to give, to pass on what was given to us beforehand, and then to continue to train them and to teach them in the best things of life, which is, of course, Christ's gifts in the words, in the sacraments, and to have that as a regular part of life. That's a picture, really, of how God provides for us. We see this in the Lord's Prayer, that our Heavenly Father provides for all that we need as dear children. Fathers, mm-hmm. in a way, are also like that. Again, God gives to us, we give to our children.
You mentioned, sitting around the table building with Legos and blocks and things like that with your dad. And I think for me, it was, when Dad was working on projects around the house, whether he was, doing some construction or building something or fixing something that was broken, whether it be one of the vehicles or something else.
Right.
For me, it was, until I was older, wasn't necessarily always invited to help with those projects, but always in the background kind of mimicking what Dad was mm-hmm. doing. If he was building yep. something with wood, I was in the background building something with wood. And there were times yep. when we did some projects together, too. But if he was working on something, then he was wise and always gave me something to take apart and
right.
rebuild as well in the background, something that would never have the same use ever again anyway after
exactly.
I touched it.
Something that could be useful for, it's all part of a learning process. I like to tell parents around here a lot that, everything we do teaches our children. So we want to make sure that we're teaching them, of course, the right things, but know that even when we're not verbally teaching them something, that they're learning by our actions. And that example from your own background is a great way of making that point.
And not that it wasn't without rules. It always had rules, especially if it involved building something that you plugged in.
Yep. or any kind of tools, right? Any hammers and nails and things. It's good to get kids familiar with those things, but to do it with an instructive set of rules and a safe environment to do it.
Sure.
All those things can be done very easily, I think.
The rule in our household if it was something that you plug in, if he'd given it to me to take apart or to put back together, he had to examine it before it could be plugged in.
That's fantastic.
He was a wise man in that sense. Yes, very much so. He was a wise man. Never wanted me to blow up things, and that's good. But always encouraged creativity, and I appreciate that about my dad, that he always gave me opportunities to be creative and to also watch what he was doing, what he was working on, and got to be creative and to help in building some things too around the house.
Yep, I think that's just part of our God-given nature. Part of the blessing of being God's creatures is that God is creator, and he makes us as Tolkien, again, to use one of his words, he called human beings sub-creators. We do this. We take the stuff of God's creation, and we want to We want to build things. We want to make things. So whether it's, you know, some people enjoy baking or cooking. Some people enjoy, you know, woodshop projects or electronical kinds of things like you do. Some enjoy creative play with building. Some enjoy art or music or movies. I think all of those different things all come back to that gift, God's gift of the imagination, and how that can be put to use in service for others.
Absolutely. As you were mentioning those things, I could think of an example of each one of those with my dad or with my mom or with my sister, and all those opportunities that I had that I was given to do something creative and to learn along the way.
Yeah, and the great thing is that you were doing with them too, right?
It was
an interactive thing.
Right.
You know, you were helping mom in the kitchen with something, or helping her, you know, pack a lunch or whatever. You know, doing these different activities further strengthens that family bond.
With just a minute left, Pastor Schulteis, any words of encouragement to parents, especially to dads out there, when it comes to creative play with their kids?
Well, I think just make the time to do it. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, work schedules are busy and time is crazy, and you know, there are a lot of ways to get distracted and kind of caught up in ourselves and our other activities and things that we do with other vocations, and there's a good and godly time to do those things, but also spend time, as much time with the children as you can. It's a wonderful joy both for them and for you, because you end up teaching them and they end up teaching you, and it's just a wonderful joy, and I think there's a beauty to behold in seeing the imagination, you know, develop in the child, and to be involved in that.
I agree wholeheartedly. Our guest today has been the Reverend Sam Schulteis, pastor at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California. Pastor Schulteis, thank you so much for your display. You, listeners can check it out on our Facebook page. Thanks for being our guest today here on Faith and Family, Pastor.
You're very welcome. It was a joy to be with you again.
God's blessings to you, your family, and all the saints there at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Huntington Beach, California.
Thank you. You all as well.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word right here on Listener Supported Worldwide KFUO, celebrating 90 years of broadcast. Casting the good news of Jesus Christ.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.